At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome to the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this live after the Kings win their first game of the season. It was an ugly start, but a magical third quarter, and Sacramento was able to handle business against the Blazers, who are playing on the second night of a back-to-back, and the Kings win 111-98. They are now 1-2 on the season with a game tomorrow night in Salt Lake City against the Utah Jazz. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Mo, how are you?
I'm great. I am so good. I know we were like, hey, we're going to put costumes on for our Halloween episode, win or lose. I was feeling like a little worried just because of
if we wore what we are wearing right now
in the Kings loss.
It would look pretty bad.
We would look so stupid because we don't look stupid otherwise, but we would look so stupid. It's nice getting that first win out of the way, but then also how they did it. It was ugly in the first half. They fought through adversity. Things looked better in the second. I'm excited to talk about some good things.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over with this one tonight. You know, the one thing with adding DeMar DeRozan, I didn't realize, with his ability to get to the free throw line, it just makes games a lot longer. That first half, it took like an hour and 20 minutes. I thought we were going to be starting night chat at like 2 a.m. It was a crazy-ass pace.
Yeah, no, that was pretty wild.
Where do you want to start with this one tonight? Because this is a Blazers team that on paper is not very good. They were coming off a very nice win yesterday against the Pelicans, in which they beat them by 22. They are the tallest team in the NBA. They gave the Kings a ton of problems in the preseason. And to start this one, you're like, God, man, they play hard. They were getting into the Kings defenders, really preventing them any space to get DHO action going. They're long. Where do you want to start with this one tonight?
We could start in the first half because then we can start with the bad, get to the good, and, you know, intertwine it all as we get there. But I think starting things off, because when the Kings started this game, I thought they started off strong in the first couple of minutes. Like, they brought it. The energy was there. They're getting deflections. There's a few defensive mistakes where Portland was just missing some of their looks. Yeah. Simons, you know, just like it was. I was very confused how the Kings were communicating with one another, but then it kept getting better, and then it just started looking ugly on both sides. Fast breaks weren't happening. The Kings only had 4 fast break points. They weren't getting stops in running, so the pace looked weird and everything, but they still had the lead, so I was okay.
Yeah, after one, it was 25-20, and Sacramento had made 6 shots. They were 2 of 7 from 3, but in that first quarter, they were 11 of 12 at the free throw line. And I feel like it's early season, but an interesting subplot is a Sacramento Kings team that ranked 21st in free throw attempts last year, about 20 a game, and were dead last in free throw percentage. All of a sudden, through 3 games, they're getting to the free throw line a ton. Tonight, they were 23 of 25. And I mentioned they were last in free throw percentage.
Yeah.
Well, through 3 games, they are number 1 in the NBA in free throw percentage.
And let's go.
Yeah. A lot goes to, hey, DeMar DeRozan. He gets the line. He makes his free throws. But for the Kings this year to have any consistency at the free throw line, as basic as it seems, it's like it's up to Domantas Sabonis. Fox, after the All-Star break last year, was over 80%. The one guy who gets there a lot because he draws a lot of contact and physicality from opposing defenses is Sabonis. And when Sabonis is hovering at like 6, under 70. It just kills you with how often he goes to the line. But early in the season, he's been knocking them down. I think he was 8 of 9 against the Lakers, 5 of 6 in this one. So when you have him getting the line and then DeRozan getting the line, yeah, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, he looks so much more confident, not only shooting the ball from the outside in the mid-range, but you're exactly right. When he gets to the free throw line, it just looks a little different. They're going in, but there's something else that feels a little different. So it's nice to see these free throws going in. It's nice to see that that was a point of emphasis, not just made free throws, but them getting to the free throw line. And the fact that that was keeping them in it, or keeping them in the lead in that first half.
Yeah. I mean, especially with how you're shooting the ball. And that's the great thing about having someone like DeMar DeRozan, who can get to the line and create some shit. And just to, you know, he's a foul merchant. Oh. He's our foul merchant now.
It's
kind of nice. It's like, oh man, we've got a guy that gets the calls.
I know.
Some of them are like, really? That's a foul? I'm like, yeah, that's a foul. Of course it is.
Two right in the beginning. Did he take a charge or something? I forget whatever happened there. And then there was one later on where he was just like a baseline jumper and they called like this weak foul. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Well, he's wearing a Kings jersey. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll take that. Definitely take that. So, but being able to score at the free throw line when you're not scoring in a possession because you're just not shooting well, your offense isn't flowing, it's great to have that as a weapon.
Yeah, at halftime, they... Oh, of course, I didn't write it. I'm a mess tonight.
Wait, why? What did you...
I'm just laughing because I usually put the score at halftime underneath all my notes. I did. I was like, at halftime, the free throw present. And then I didn't do that, which is very funny of me. But I wanted to get to free throws at halftime because I felt like that was kind of an interesting subplot to this game to kind of enhance what you were saying. At halftime, the Kings were 17 of 19. Yes.
Yeah.
They took 19 free throws in the first half. And so, yeah, to Morgan's point, the fact that they struggled with their shooting in the first half, you had guys in foul trouble. Sabonis had 3, Herter had 3, Keegan had 3. You shot just 15 threes in the first half, just 4 of 15. And you're up at the half, 51-43. It felt like, okay, that's a minor victory. I don't think I was jumping for joy at half. I got to be honest, if the game had continued what it looked like in the first half and the Kings squeaked out a win tonight, would I be happy? Like, yeah, they got a win. But I'd be like, okay, I'm a little nervous about this. This doesn't look good. But that third quarter was so freaking good. I know we'll get into that.
Oh, yeah. When can we get into that?
Now.
Okay, whatever. Perfect. Because, I'm kind of done. Like you said, the ugly basketball, the things that weren't flowing, it was concern. When I say concerning, they still had the lead, but it was like, is this what it's going to be?
I want to hit on this for a second because I do think this is part of the early season theme I'm noticing with Sacramento. And it's the Kings adjusting to DeMar DeRozan's pace.
Yes.
The other Kings players adjusting to DeMar DeRozan's pace. And also on the flip side, DeMar DeRozan adjusting to the style that the Kings want to play. Like, the Kings want to play fast. They want to make quick decisions. They want to push the pace, not only like on the break, but in their half court offense. They want things moving. I think what you're noticing early on is like there are some moments where DeRozan's slowing it down and like other Kings players are like, oh, we're slowing it down now. And it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Oh, is this how we're doing it?
And it's an adjustment. Yeah. Or like for DeRozan, it's like, oh, we're moving it here. There was like one sequence tonight where like Alex Len got the ball trying to go into DHO with DeRozan. And he looks and DeRozan's like jogging to the opposite quarter. And I'm like, oh, man, this is just, it's still a little bit clunky. Uh-huh. I feel like each game you're seeing better and better cohesiveness on offense. And you try not to let the missed shots like affect what you're seeing out there. Cause obviously, you know, missing shots, you're like, oh, the offense sucks. It's like, no, but I'm just talking about the flow of things. And I think at times, like, it's been an adjustment for not only DeMar DeRozan, but Kings players.
I love this point because I think this is something that we're going to see more of, you know, where it's not even confusion. It's more of feeling each other out.
Yeah.
And then when you feel each other out, you don't have to play DeMar's way. You don't have to play strictly with the crazy fast-paced Kingsway, where can you find that balance and understand your personnel with whoever is on the court? And I say that, for example, if DeMar was on the floor with some of the second unit guys and he had to take over more, well, you're probably going to play more to maybe his pace or balance those things out, or you're still going to allow guys to still run fast, but there's going to be more of that balance. Now, when you're with that starting crew, you're hoping to see the pace get pushed. That's when the ball is just flowing. Teams can't stop it. You have one of the fastest guys in the league. But at the same time, if you have to do a possession or two where you are playing more to DeMar DeRozan's pace and allowing him to back things down, be slow, get to the free throw line, like, that's not a bad thing for this team, especially when you can get a breather while he's at the free throw line.
What happens come playoff time? Sometimes shit slows down a little bit and you need to run something slower. You need to go get to the free throw line. You need a guy that can go get a bucket. And like, he does play at his own pace. There's no doubt about that. But like, then he creates for others. I mean, there was one sequence, I believe in the third quarter, where DeRozan drives. He loves bringing the ball super low when he was on that drive.
Yes, like, yes.
And then he kicked it out. Herter was open for three. He collapsed the defense, leaving a guy like in Kevin Herter, who, by the way, give Kevin Herter some goddamn love for the last couple of games. People want to cite his, well, he was minus 29 against the Lakers. Throw your one game plus minus. You know what? Take it, turn it sideways, and stick it straight up your ass, because it doesn't matter. I saw him knock down some shots. I saw him have six deflections, okay? He's not perfect out there, but man, I was excited to see Kevin knock down shots back-to-back games. He knocked down four threes tonight. He was dropping dimes. He had three blocks in this game. Sorry, quick Kevin Herter tangent. I want to go back to DeMar.
Ugh, dang it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Can I? Can we just continue a little bit with Kevin now that you like started the tangent? So going off of your tangent, I feel like a lot of this energy that he's getting is also dictated by the way that he's playing defense. He's getting those deflections. He's getting those blocks. But like, obviously knocking down some of those first shots are helping him just feel confident out there. But I swear, defensively, when you are in the passing lane and you are doing your job and knocking the ball away, slowing down the opponent's possession, like, it's going to give you a different type of energy and confidence. And then you saw that in his game, moving without the basketball, making his shots. You know, I was asked in the post-game show, like, oh, do you think that Kevin's turning the corner now or whatever just because of one game? And I'm like, why not? You know, we're in game three. Like, I mean, why can't it be? You know, I could be completely wrong and he can still have his inconsistent game after game after game. But at the same time, what we saw in that first year to what we saw last year, why can't he find an in-between where you got a bad game, you got a good game, you figure it out.
Well, yeah, and I don't think I still maintain I don't think the Lakers game was a bad game. He was a part of a lineup that allowed
a big
run.
I was just saying, even like just last couple of years.
So it's good to see back-to-back games where he knocks down four threes as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you saw him do other things too. I mean, the first couple of plays of the game, the two-man action with Sabonis. I mean, he had found Sabonis early. Then you had great ball movement where Keegan puts the ball on the floor, finds Herter in the corner for three. It just felt like I felt like early with the Kings too, before they started missing every single shot, the one thing I did like about how they were playing against Portland was it felt like they were being patient. And I think sometimes when teams are bigger than them, where a lot of teams are bigger than them, but have that length like Portland does, sometimes they rush into shit. They force passes that aren't there. And I felt like tonight, at least early, it felt like, oh, we're going to be a little more deliberate in the half court. All right, we're going to pump fake. Okay, put the ball on the floor. Let's find the open man. We don't have to rush here. And they got some good looks out of it, even if they were missing shots.
Even if it was attacking some open lanes or some open gaps and not necessarily penetrating completely through the paint. Like, there was this moment, like, De'Aaron was going cross, trying to go down almost like, you know, from the left to right. And then DeRozan was kind of coming off him. And what it did was just shift the defense. Yeah. And De'Aaron gave it to DeRozan. He like pump faked, went, did a midi, whatever. But just that little bit more movement where the ball wasn't just moving around the horn, left to right. It was going in, out, even if it wasn't all the way to the block. It was just so different tonight, and you're exactly right. It generates such a different look at the basket.
And when Kevin is out there too, I mean, teams are going to respect his shooting. You know, they're going to play him tight, which just opens up the floor for others. So yes, when Kevin's knocking down shots, it's a game changer. And last year, there were so many stretches where he wasn't knocking down shots on a consistent basis. He lost all of his confidence, and it impacted him on both ends. Kevin's never going to be a lockdown defender, but I think he does enough like getting his hands, you know, he's longer, so he can get his hands on the ball, deflections. I just liked how he played tonight. I thought it was really good to see him. And that's where you're like, okay, you start visualizing what the Kings offense can be if he is knocking down three-pointers on a consistent level like he did in his first year.
And then on top of that, Deuce, we saw Keon Ellis check in with Malik Monk.
Can I just say this pregame?
It's your podcast. Say whatever.
Oh, if that's what we're doing, huh?
Deuce Tesh.
And if people are joining us late right now, you're probably going, why are you dressed like this? I saw someone said, you guys look like card dealers. No. And we do, but we're dressed as the characters from SNL, as Round Ball Rock, you know, John Tesh, you know, the guy who did that.
It's like that.
I messed it up, but
you know, there you go.
I'm not a piano player. Anyway, Keon Ellis. Before the game, Mike Brown was asked plenty of questions about Keon Ellis because he played 11 minutes in game one against Minnesota, did not play against the Lakers. We're all looking around like, what? You got to figure this out. Like, you got to get him on the floor. He said before the game it was a minute crunch more than anything. Plans to play like a 9-10 man rotation. He mentioned why he put Jordan McLaughlin in that game against the Lakers is he wants someone that was going to push the pace. And he made it sound like Keon was more of like a situational bench player at this point. So in my head, I'm going into the game thinking, we're not going to see Keon Ellis again. And then the first two subs off the bench, Malik Monk and Keon Ellis. And I think tonight's a great example of like, to me, should be the goal is like, you need to get your bench integrated and they need to play. Like there's minutes for Keon Ellis out there. There's minutes for others out there. But there's not minutes if you're going to be playing, you know, DeRozan 40 minutes, Fox 40 minutes, Keegan 40 minutes, and, you know, Sabonis 40 minutes. So that you're complicating things, right? And you look at tonight, even though the Kings were able to get the lead big, the minutes were way better.
The minutes were way better. And then, obviously, the last couple of minutes being up by 15, being able to play some other guys, too, helps. But you're exactly right. Mike Brown going to Malik Monk and Keon Ellis as the first guys to sub in, what I just thought was great to see Keon Ellis get the respect that I think he deserves, especially since he's capable of doing so much. He's long. He puts on that pressure defensively. He makes some big hustle plays happen. Like, I forget what moment, second half it was, but when he jumped on the ball to cause a jump ball.
Yeah, it was a steal. Then Denny Avdija got it back, and then Keon jumped right on it. Yeah. And guess what? It got the crowd into the game.
Yeah, it was just those moments for Keon, and then for him to finish with almost 15 minutes, I was like, okay, this is more what we need to see, because going to your point of just like experience and opportunities, you can't just shove guys in whenever you want and expect them to be great. Now, I mean, Mike Brown, we saw him try and do that with someone like Davion Mitchell. And I was like, hey, if that's your role, like you're just going to have to figure it out. But I think it's unfair when you have so much more to contribute, to add, to make an impact. And you should be able to showcase that.
So Keon ends up playing just under 15 minutes in this game. Had 3 points, 3 rebounds. He also had a steal, couple of turnovers, 1 of 3 shooting, knocked down a 3-ball in this game. He ended up playing Monk, Ellis, Trey Lyles, and Len, a little bit of McLaughlin. Then he put in the rest of the team toward the end of the game once the Kings had this game wrapped up. Third quarter was spectacular, Morgan. Where did you want to go next?
Third quarter,
Sacramento at one point goes on a 27-11 run. Mm. The final numbers of the third quarter were spectacular. 38 points, 6 of 10 from 3, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and they shot 62% from the field. They just locked in, and I thought they came out more aggressive defensively, and then they committed to like getting out and running.
That was huge. Getting the stops and being able to run, being able to push the pace. I know they only finished with 9 fast break points, but it was still the way that they were getting into their offense earlier and the way that they were making quicker decisions on the offensive end, even if it wasn't bleeding all the way into the end of the shot clock, it was still just not the first shot. It was a really good shot because of the movement was happening right away. They were locked in. De'Aaron started getting into the paint. That was something I was a little worried about in the first half when I was like, why isn't the ball in his hands? Why isn't he initiating? Why isn't he doing more? And then you saw him so many different times come off a pin down or a DHO and then find his way into the paint, get a floater, get whatever. And what that does, I feel like, is inspire others on this team to do a little bit more of that as well and not just jack up a whole bunch of threes.
Yeah, I was really impressed with what I saw in that third quarter. And that's what gave me like, oh, okay, this can come together a little bit. They can get out and go. And then defensively, some of the plays that were made, there was one where, you know, Sabonis defending Ayton. Fox comes over on the help, pokes it away. DeRozan led the team in steals tonight, by the way. DeMar DeRozan, I believe, had 3 steals in this game.
Damn.
I think last game he had 3 steals as well. And I thought he made some nice defensive plays. There was one sequence where he's defending Jabari Walker in the post, and he just held his ground. He's got good strength. He may not be able to switch out and defend guards. It's a tough matchup for DeMar DeRozan, but against bigger guys, like, he's got that strength. Great contest, force a tough shot. So I love seeing that. De'Aaron Fox, I believe, had an awesome contest on a Simon shot that forced a miss. So I just felt like they were much more aggressive coming out of the gates there. And going back to your point about different guys initiating.
Yeah.
It is interesting to see what they're doing because, like, that first half, they had Fox in the corner just a lot. It felt like even Herter was initiating, bringing the ball up more. And the Kings love to run their zoom action where they, you know, send someone the screen down to the corner for De'Aaron Fox to come out. And it gives some options, right? Because a lot of times he'll come off that screen into that Sabonis DHO. And Sabonis,
yep,
you know, sets a good screen. All of a sudden, De'Aaron, with his speed, can turn that corner, get a mid-range floater, you know, get to the basket, or he doesn't have to take that. He can receive the pass and then, you know, knock down a 3-pointer. So I felt like they were running a lot of that, but then they put the ball in his hands more in the third quarter. I feel like they need to make sure he's got the ball in his hands more.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But I think also, like, we keep talking about balance. It's about that balancing act, because you saw the way that he was digging at the basketball on the defensive end, being aggressive, trying to make sure he was sending that double to get a steal, to get a poke away, whatever it may be. And it's like when you have the ball in your hands the whole time on the offensive end, bringing it down every single time, if they also want you to be a part of that play and not just be the one that's initiating first, attacking first, whatever, you're going to have to be off ball at times. And so I think that's something that we're seeing them not test out, but they're trying to practice. They're trying to make sure that it's something that they can all do, because it's only going to make everyone's life easier. It's going to make someone like De'Aaron, who is so dominant when he does have the ball in his hands, be able to score in different ways.
And I just don't want him. And you know why? Because sometimes it brings back memories to when Halliburton was here and with Fox, and like, Juan's offense was like, hey, De'Aaron's just going to sit in the corner and do nothing. But at least with this offense, you're like seeing him get involved in the action, whether it's cutting. I mean, even tonight, like DeRozan as a cutter, there was one play late where like Fox had the easiest layup of his life. He got downhill, but DeRozan was cutting through and then set a back pick that just freed up Fox to get all the way to the rim. And like, that's this type of shit I love seeing. Like, that wasn't a set play. DeRozan just did that cutting through.
Yep.
And that's part of the read and react. Those are the things that get me excited, watching how this offense can have, seeing what kind of potential this offense could have.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Let's give everyone here a hell yeah for being here live.
Give me a hell yeah.
It is late. What night is it?
Monday.
My God, Monday night. And the Kings play tomorrow. Oh. We got some super chats in the building. Appreciate you guys. James Gross, he's a member. Appreciate him. Anthony, donated a couple bucks saying intro was like the Kings first half. Play on, win ugly.
You know, I'm gonna push back on that.
Why?
I think the intro was great.
Our intro?
Us dressed as the Tesh brothers.
Yeah.
Not Menendez brothers, the Tesh brothers.
Thank God. Yeah, that's like...
Well, that was the other one I was going to pitch to you.
really glad didn't even get pitched. Don't know.
They got a new Netflix show, right?
This is awful.
It's a joke, Morgan. I know. It's a joke, okay? And I haven't watched it yet, but people are like making the case like, I don't know.
I know.
Should they be released?
I know. There's a lot. It's deep, dude. It's
we'll
deep.
We'll save that for a podcast series I'm our working
true
on.
Crime
our true crime. Anyway, and then I played Round Ball Rock the best of my ability.
I sang Round Ball Rock.
I was late on getting a song. Sure, fog goes off, turns.
No. Fog didn't go off immediately. Then fog finally you goes off. Then alarm goes off. Alarm can't be turned off. I stub my toe, and then we finally start the show.
Yes. Well, Anthony, you're right. Thank you so much. Anthony. You're right. You're right.
Very much.
Right. Ashwin donates $10. Heard her eating the minutes of Keon makes sense in the first two games, giving him the run to catch up with the flow of the game. And now we see how it is with Keon playing more minutes. Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is with this roster, I mean, there's just a lot of guards. You know, I think this roster is going to need to be balanced at some point, but I think this is what it is. And if Kevin's producing like he is, I think he gets minutes. If he's not, you have other options.
And that's a fair point, too, even just kind of looking at it like that. Like, the guy didn't play in the preseason. He didn't play in the preseason. No, he didn't play. I'm just, like, double-checking my mind. He didn't play in the preseason. And so, like, for him to be able to get those minutes, those opportunities. But I think what was the scariest part was how Keon was being talked about whenever the question was asked to Mike Brown, whether it was before a game or at practice. It just never felt like the confidence in Keon like there was just a couple months ago.
Also, Malik Monk in the chat. It's not Malik Monk, but someone named Malik Monk, and some people in the chat believe it's Malik Monk, which is funny. donate $10. Keon Ellis is one of those players who really got it out of the mud. He's earned everything that's come his way in his lifetime. That man deserves minutes on a nightly basis. No questions asked. Yeah, I mean,
thanks, Malik.
Keon Ellis, to me, we talked about last night. He's a winning player. He's the type of guy you want on your basketball team and playing minutes because he makes things happen. And it was good to see him make an impact. He's also got such a great attitude. Biggity Blake donates $5. John Hader, Blades of Glory. That's is that what it looked like?
That's the vibe that you're giving.
You know, I've never seen that movie, but
Will Ferrell. Is that the one?
Maybe.
I've never seen it either.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know why I never saw that one.
Deuce, you've never seen so many movies.
Okay.
Mean Girls.
Never seen it.
Yeah. Thank you.
A couple of other good stats from tonight. Kings in the second half, they were 10 of 20 from three.
Okay.
After 4 of 15 in the first half. So it was good to see them knock down some shots.
Yeah. And again, because those shots were being created differently was one of them. But also, yes, you have to actually make your shots. And the fact that you're playing one of the biggest teams in the NBA tonight, too, where that could be a threat from the outside, taking away your vision, being able to contest more of those outside shots, being able to cover more ground. And it just never felt like that was truly an issue tonight.
They end up shooting 40% from downtown this game, 14 to 35. They were a slow shooting start for this game, as we mentioned, the first half, but they got to go together in the second half. End up shooting 45%, 92% from the free throw line. Fox had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He had a couple of steals, 9 of 20 shooting, just 2 of 8 from 3.
Yikes.
You know, I got Matt Fox once tonight.
Oh, no, you didn't. I know. Like,
cool, Deuce.
Yeah.
What's up,
look at you, okay? You got mad? At what?
Was it the end of the first quarter? Yeah. End of the first quarter, he took a really, really bad shot over Jeremy
Grant.
Was
it a mid-range shot, right?
I'm like, yeah, it was like a long mid-range. I'm like, attack this guy.
And there wasn't a lot of energy into that shot. Yeah. And well, and that's why when you did see him turn it on in the second half, it was like, oh yeah, okay, then for sure that wasn't his best shot. That could have been taken. But but we didn't even mention for him. 10,000 career points.
In Sacramento.
Yeah. That's so awesome, cool. Dude. Behind Mitch Richmond.
It's crazy to think about how long he's been here now.
This is
the eighth season. That's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, so De'Aaron Fox, another 20-point game. DeRozan had 23 points. We mentioned the free throw shooting, getting the line of light. He was 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Also had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Sabonis, a double-double, 16, 13, 7 for him in this game. And then Kevin Huerter, we talked about how good he was, but he finished with 18 points.
So yeah. Super. And it was a good 18. It was just how he started making those shots to how he ended to how he played some defense. It was really good. I was really happy to see it. Did you see Trey Lyles rip his jersey?
Why did he rip his jersey off?
I think either he like hurt himself, so it was emotions, or he was frustrated.
And he just tore it off.
Like Superman. Superman does that, right? I was going to say Batman. Superman. Superman.
But yeah, yeah. I'm glad you didn't say Hulk Hogan, you know?
Weird. And I know. Like, no. Next topic. So anyway, when he ripped off his shirt, like Superman, I was like, wow.
Did they just give him a new jersey then? When was that?
Yeah. I mean, they always have a new jersey ready. Think about it. They're all in the team store.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Can you imagine? He rips off it. I got to go up to the team store. Where's my wallet? Where is it?
Stupid joke. Okay. Where's my... He's got to go up to the team store. Yeah, just, you rip it. You buy it.
Can you imagine? He's got to, like, walk up the stairs.
Trey.
Where's Trey? He's still in line. They didn't have any... They had to make one at the printing thing. Not funny.
Like, so stupid.
Man.
Yikes.
I thought Malik Monk, the other thing, Malik Monk didn't play a ton of minutes in this game tonight. I think Mike was like, oh, these guys are rolling. Herter's rolling. We're just going to keep going with these guys. But I thought when Malik was out there, he was fantastic. I mean, that building was lifeless in the first half because there was a whistle literally every other second. Yeah. We saw in this game a combined 55 free throws, right? So that's a lot of stoppages, especially in that first half. Anyway, he comes late second quarter. He had that play where he's pushing in transition, goes between his legs from behind,
God.
And he missed
the layup,
but Fox is there to tip it in. That was awesome. And then he had a great defensive play too.
He has so many fun moments there. There was one where Sabonis was driving it down the court and he gets caught up and just tries to throw it back out. And Malik was there to get it. He takes a dribble and a step back three. And at first I was like, why is he doing? That's why he's taking this. Love it. That's How many threes did he end up with?
He was 3 of 5 from downtown.
3 of 5. Yeah. Yeah. And just, I mean, they were big. They were energy filled shots. It was, again, some good moments from everyone. Malik having those energy moments. Keon having a few of those. Sabonis just being beastly. DeMar. Every time DeMar hits a mid-range shot, I swear, the crowd just gets so excited. Like, yeah, this is the shit he does. This is what we'd like to see.
It just looks so smooth. Mm-hmm. The one he had at the end of the first half when he pump faked.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Anthony Simons to death. It's like, 1, 2. Goes up and shoots it. You're like, God damn, man. You know you can't bite on the pump fake because you don't want to like end up fouling the guy. But you're like trying to be patient with it. He shoots it. No problem.
Yeah. So yeah. Go on.
Keegan had a weird night, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like he missed shots early. And then like I Mike Brown's mentioned this. Like he has mentioned that when Keegan like slumps his shoulders after missing a shot. I saw that once in the first half tonight. And I don't know. He wasn't knocking down his shot. I did appreciate, like, despite the fact that he wasn't knocking down his shots tonight, the guy was crashing the glass.
Yeah.
And
hell yeah.
Rebounding is going to be an issue this year until they decide to, you know, get some more size on this team. And he came off a game the other night against the Lakers where I think he had 4 rebounds. And tonight he had 8, but 4 of those were offensive rebounds, and he just came crashing. He's been they really want to emphasize crashing from the corners to get offensive rebounds, and Keegan's done pretty well at that.
And that's the thing. You see those 8 rebounds, and I thought he did he had some other good moments where he was crashing the boards, but it wasn't landing in his hands or he just couldn't grab it. But the effort was there to keep crashing the board. So at least if he wasn't making his shots and it was a weird night for him, he didn't let it take him completely out of his game.
Shout out to everyone watching us here live tonight. If you have not done it yet, the biggest thing you could do to help our channel grow is make sure you're subscribed. Doesn't cost a thing. Hit the subscribe button. Also, hit that thumbs up button. We should be at like... I don't know, 500 thumbs up. So hit the like button and just tell your people about it. We want to keep growing this thing. It just makes sure other people see what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you guys.
No, thank you guys so much for being here on a Monday night.
Here's my poll question for tonight. Morgan, do you feel a little better now? The options, way better. Same, doomer for life, and a little better. 52% of people voting tonight, over 600 votes thus far, say way better.
Hey.
39% say a little better, and 8% doomer for life.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little better. Like, I don't need to be, again, way better, and I like that people are there. I feel way better because the beam is lit, you know?
Yeah,
so, like, that for me is like, oh, thank God that thing needed to be up in the air. But for the team, I feel a little better. Like, but I never felt awful either. I think it was just more, I think they're going to go through the ups and downs, but the downs isn't going to be completely shitty basketball. It's just going to be figuring each other out. And that to me is completely normal for all these teams in the NBA trying to figure each other out with some new players and whatever.
I mean, I think the challenge this year too was like, you're not only implementing DeMar, like we said at the top of the podcast, and him getting used to the players and the players getting used to him. It's like you were trying to get Trey and Kevin back in the fold after they missed training camp, did not play in the preseason, and Herter had not played in 7 months. So I think that is another layer to this whole thing. And then you add to the fact that Mike Brown, the first couple of games was like, you know, I felt like there was a restriction on him. He was not allowed to play anyone on the bench more than like 5 minutes, you know, it's like, oh my God.
Everything was just.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully now this road trip, they hit the road tomorrow against the Jazz, and then they've got a weird ass back to back. They go, tell me this.
Oh, no.
Help me out, NBA schedule makers.
Okay, you know NBA schedule makers.
I know. And I
what are you going to do? Yell at him?
Tell me this. You go, Utah. You guys, imagine a map of the United States behind me. You go, Utah, okay? Then you fly to Georgia, to Atlanta, okay? Then you go to Toronto, okay?
Okay.
And then you go down to Miami. You go Utah, Toronto, like Miami, Atlanta, or Atlanta, Miami. Why would you go the boom, 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 boom? That doesn't make sense. In Atlanta, Toronto's on a back to back.
I mean, oh, okay.
It's weird.
Well, no, but Atlanta. So, whatever. I'm honestly like, how AI needs to figure that out then, because that's.
Ridiculous, right?
It's not that ridiculous to me. Honestly, it's just not because, again, if I'm on a plane and I'm getting served food and I get to sleep or whatever, I'm fine.
I'm just saying logistically, it doesn't make much sense for me. If I was planning a trip, I'm not doing that. Hey.
Well, I'd hope you'd not do that, but you have more of a choice. Like, what if arenas are booked? All these different, there's so many different things to factor in.
Okay.
And you know this.
I just don't need you to go into this much detail. You could just be like, hey, pro, I agree with you.
Pro NBA schedulers.
So
pro
stupid.
NBA schedulers.
But anyway, I just named all those teams. Utah has not won a game. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Also, Taylor Hendricks, dude, out for the season. Like, super sad injury. One of those that you won't, if you see on social media, don't watch.
I'm not going to watch.
Like a fibula injury. And
no.
He dislocated his ankle. So he's done for the year. They lost to Dallas tonight. They're now 0-3. So they're going to be on the second night of a back-to-back as well. And then, you know, to me, there's winnable games on this trip. And you just hope that the Kings can build some consistency. How I would vote in the poll question, I feel a little better tonight. Mm-hmm. I think I'd feel way better if there was like a first half where like, oh, everything's clicking, the shots are falling, all that stuff. But I thought they played hard tonight. I thought they didn't let Portland's physicality deter them from what they wanted to do. Like, they
agreed.
Were aggressive. They got to the line. Then the third quarter, they showed what they look like when they're at their best.
And that's a good point, because I thought Portland was doing a good job defensively on them, making their life a little bit harder in that first half. But then you saw again toward the end of the game when they went into like that matchup zone, it just screwed with the Kings for a few possessions, but then they started figuring it out once again. So again, the adjustments the Kings kept making with what Portland was throwing at them, I thought was good.
We got more super chats to get to. Shout out to Greg for the super chat. Homer James donates a couple bucks saying pure entertainment. The piano, the smoke alarm, heart fire, fist pound. Thank you. Joe donates $5. Love you guys. Are you dressed like Hall & Oates? We make your dreams come true.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, I can play it.
She's a rich girl and she's gone too far, but you know it don't matter anyway.
Do it again, but Kings related.
Okay. It's a beam night and she shines so bright, but you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the Kings winning, baby. You can rely on the Kings winning, baby.
Yeah, we'll leave that on the chopping block. Yeah, I know. Just sometimes. You know.
And no, we're not Hall & Oates.
John Tesh, dude. The
John Tesh, dude. Dave Tesh.
God, you guys kill me.
Or Morgan Tesh.
A little better. I do. I still think the rebounding's concerning overall. They ended up out rebounded tonight by 46-40. The defense, I think, had better moments tonight, which was good.
Points in the paint for the Blazers, not the best.
52. They were 26-50, though. They missed a lot of shots in the paint. I didn't like that the Kings only had 28 points in the paint, but also those numbers are, you know. When you get to the free throw line that much, those don't count as points in the paint. Blah, 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 blah. You get it. You're fouled in the paint. You go to the line. Hey. Huh, doesn't count as points in the paint.
So what?
So that's a little bit misleading there. But, hey, you got the win. Who do you think the player of the game should be in the chat? I want you guys to type it right now while we tell you that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Mother.
M-O-T-H-E-R. Give me a mother or just go pregame with your mother. And you can do that on K Street where everything is located. But you got to go to Mother. I'm going on Wednesday because I am missing their food. They have some of the best food. But also before every single Kings game, on a Kings game day, you can get 50% off all drinks.
Yeah. How about the fact that they have a Michelin bib?
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. Like, we're not kidding. Like, it's really good food.
We're talking about seasonal food, local produce, fresh.
Kings fans.
They're Kings fans. They're awesome. If you have not been to Mother yet, you got to go there. They used to be, like, down K Street long ago by Crest Theater. Now they're at 2319 K Street in the heart of Midtown. That's a great area to go bounce around. You should definitely go to Mother. And they also have a website you should check out with their full menu, mothersacramento.com.
Order online, baby.
We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Golden One Credit Union believes together we are one. That's why they've set out to create a bright financial future for all Californians. So visit goldenone.com to see their range of products and services to help start your journey today. And if you're a Kings fan, oh, you get hooked up. I saw tonight, a Golden One member raised their card at the game. And Scott Freshour picked them out. They got moved from the upper level to courtside. Just one of the perks.
One of the perks.
Being a Golden One Credit Union member. Plus, you get up to 50% off home games through the Golden One online discount ticket portal.
15% off merch as well if you bring that into the team store. I mean, basically just everything's intertwined if you're a Kings fan and a Golden One member. So do you want to be two? Oh, no. You want to be one!
Now that's how you win as one. Become a member at goldenone.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're thinking about a home project, like, I need windows, there's no better place to go. If you're thinking about, hey, dude, I'm worried about my heater. Should I get it checked out? They could do a tune-up for you. Or maybe they look at it and go, dude, you might need a new one. They can handle that, too. Northwest Exteriors is the place to go for all of those needs. Got the windows in the studio done. Game changer. It's made your house energy efficient. You got the HVAC done. Game changer. Save money on your energy bills. may become more efficient. We like an efficient offense.
Hell yeah.
We like an efficient AC. We like an efficient window system.
Yep.
Get them all at Northwest Exteriors.
Don't be intimidated when you hear, oh my God, but how much are they going to cost? Seriously, get the quote today. I don't know, for Christmas or whatever the hell you want to do. Just make sure you reach out to them. They are seriously the best. Simply the best.
Yeah, go to NorthwestExteriors.com because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
All right, Morgan, player of the game. A lot of the people in the chat were suggesting DeMar DeRozan. We got some Fox.
Debo.
A lot of Debo. We got Kevin, DeMar. I would like to ask you before I put up my simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors, who would be yours?
Kevin Herter.
Let's see if we agree.
Hey!
Yeah, you know what? I'm going Kevin
Herter.
Excited
me.
Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter, 18 points, 4 assists, 3 blocks. He did it on 7 of 12 shooting, 4 of 9 from downtown. He is tonight's simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. I think obviously DeMar has a legit case too, but DeMar's been steady every single game. DeMar in his 3 games with Sacramento, 26 points, 23 points, 23 points. He's been steady for the Kings, but... For Kevin, it was good to see him do this.
For Kevin to have this game now, especially early on in the season, third game in, on the home floor, it's great to see. And it's not like we're just talking about, oh, you know, he was missing his shots, but he was good defensively. Or, oh, he's missing his shots, but he was moving without the basketball. You know, people were still paying a lot of attention to him. No. Making his shots, doing a lot of different things on the floor to really help and make an impact for this Kings team to get the win.
Yeah, I he looked much more like the version we saw year one, where it was like, oh, yeah, he can hit threes, but he can also pump fake you, put the ball on the floor, step into that mid-range shot. He can have a nice two-man game with Sabonis. He threw a beautiful pass to Fox tonight. So seeing him play with more confidence, I think, is huge. And I just hope for his sake that he can continue up and for the team's sake that he can keep this going.
Yeah. And I love seeing a lot of people happy for him. You know, Kevin needed this. It was good to see him come out of his shell. Like, all those different things. Because we've talked about the adversity he faced last year, not just with the injury, but even at the beginning of the year, basically fighting for his starting spot. Now, Mike Brown did say, even tonight, I think in pregame it was, that he's like, you know, Kevin still has to fight for his starting spot and to keep his starting spot, you know? And what I like about that is Kevin's probably more aware of that than ever because he was so close to losing it and can still be close depending on whatever the matchup is and or if it's a bad night.
He's a good player.
Yep.
He's a smart player, and he's not a perfect player. And I think sometimes when we watch these, I mean, in general in sports, it's like we expect perfection. Like, yeah, his weakness is going to be on-ball defense at times. He's going to get blown by at times. But as long as I see him out there battling, and you have to have a team defense. So, yeah, if he gets beat, where's the help coming? Are you going to help the helper? That's what you're going to have to do on this Kings team. But if he is doing other things out there and it's like, well, you can live with the fact that maybe he gets picked on defensively because we're learning how to help better. And, oh, man, he's really knocking down threes. Oh, he's hitting the mid-range. Oh, he's setting up his teammates. He's making the right reads. Oh, his gravity helps because you have to, you know, stick on him the entire game, and it opens up the floor for Fox and DeRozan. Those things matter. Amen. And so last year it was just such a mess for him where he was really, I could think of very few games where you're like, oh man, what a good game for Kevin Herter. So hopefully this could be a sign of things to come for him.
Agreed.
Let's get to some comments. Morgan Reagan.
That's my name.
Enforcer was talking about DeMar DeRozan and his steadiness. I wanted to get to the comment. Oh, hey, I like the steadiness DeMar provides. He can get us a bucket when we really need one and take some of the load off of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we talked about before the season even started. We're like, oh, what that's going to do. Not even just take off that mental pressure from De'Aaron, but the physical pressure that is always seemed like this team relies on De'Aaron for, which for good reason, I mean, being one of the best players on the team, but to have someone else that can get a bucket, be clutch in those moments like DeMar is obviously just going to do some amazing things.
Emiliano in the chat says, I'm not wanting perfection from Herter, but just not 3 weeks streaks of hitting nothing but rim. Just don't want Kevin to shoot his way onto the bench. You're exactly right. Yeah, you can't have droughts like this for sure. And so, especially now where, you know, Mike can go somewhere else. And the other thing, I think I mentioned this earlier, what I liked about tonight is like, you can play other guys. Like, play Keon.
Yeah.
Keon cannot be getting DNPs. Like,
yep.
Let's lower these minutes. We don't need guys playing upper 30s to 40s game one, game two of the regular season. There are going to be games that it happens for sure.
For sure.
Tight games, but like, I want to develop a legit bench.
Like, you're already seeing Malik, you know, only play like 19 minutes tonight, right? Where last year we made the joke was, oh my God, if he plays over 30 minutes, is something bad going to happen?
Yeah.
And finally, you know, Mike Brown started playing Malik more and more as the season went on. And now you're seeing it getting adjusted again, obviously adding someone like DeMar DeRozan, but it's getting adjusted. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen again, that Mike Brown isn't going to do that same thing and not play him 30 minutes if he thinks Malik Monk should be in there for 30 minutes. And I hope that same thing kind of happens for Keon Ellis and Trey Lyles too as matchups continue.
So next up for the Sacramento Kings, they take on the Utah Jazz. A quick turnaround back-to-back. Salt Lake City, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip from Utah. I'll be on TV with Morgan Reagan that night. I'll be on Kings pre and post game with Morgan on NBC Sports California, hopefully talking about another Kings win. But this Utah team, we saw them in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean.
And they're going to be motivated to get a win, too.
They have not had a win yet.
Yep.
And they lost in Dallas tonight. I don't know. I just feel like it's the NBA. It's not going to be easy. It's just not an easy game. But hopefully the Kings can build on this, because it would be disappointing if you couldn't string it together. I go to what I say. Like, tonight was so important, because even if Portland plays hard and they got that win yesterday, you can't lose games at home to Portland. Just, it's a non-starter. You have to show some consistency at home, build on the home court. If you want to be a legit team, you don't lose a game like tonight and you handle business. That's what the Kings did. They got to up by as many as, what, 26. Got whittled down a little bit, but ultimately you handled your business. It wasn't a threat in the fourth quarter. Against the Jazz tomorrow night, just get a win. It doesn't have to be a 25-point win.
No.
It's a road win.
Get a win.
Escape with a win, I don't care. But I just want to see them build on this. I want to see more moments of offensive cohesiveness.
You want to see some consistency, basically. Like, and not only do I want to see some consistency, because the consistency we saw in the first two games was that they were consistently just doing good and bad things in spurts, right? It was just in these small stretches. And the bad stretches would come in pivotal times. So then you saw this game really string together, adversity was thrown at them, whatever, they figured it out. And to find a way, even if tomorrow there's adversity thrown at them, find a way to just bring it all together though for that W. Because then that, even that alone, finding out how to play winning basketball and make those adjustments are just going to make you so much better early on in the season. Like, I know it's early and we say, hey, it's early, we're three games in. And I still totally believe in that. I believe in like not freaking out about any of this shit until you're like 15 games in, or really, it's not even just like freaking out when you get to a certain number. It's what you're seeing being done out there. Because when the Kings were 0-4, that 2 years ago, I remember saying, they're playing good basketball. Really not weirded out by this. Where with this one, when they were 0-2, I was just like, there's spurts, but I don't like it. Tonight, it was like ugliness in the first, but it was the whole game was ugly. The flow from the refs, single thing. So, yeah.
And you got to win ugly sometimes, which is cool. Yep. Like, I was watching OKC Atlanta yesterday, and the Hawks were hanging with OKC through three quarters. They're playing tough. And OKC just buckled down in the fourth quarter. Their defense is just ridiculous. And it's like, yeah, it could be close throughout a game. It's fine. As long as the end result is you get a win. And I think the best teams do what OKC did yesterday, which is, yeah, we may hang around a little bit for three quarters, but All right, final 12 minutes. We have another level we can go to, and we're going to get there. And that's why OKC is a special team right now. And I think they look disgustingly good defensively, throwing different guys at Trae Young, making life hard. My point being is, like, yeah, tonight was ugly in the first half. I don't care about that. I care that in the third quarter, the Kings came out with the appropriate level of aggressiveness and fight to take control of the game and make it the fourth quarter just a whatever quarter.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
That's how it's done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So Utah, by the way, they lost in Dallas 110 to 102. Colin Sexton was their leading scorer with 23 points. They have Markkanen, Walker Kessler is in the starting lineup. Keontae George, I know he's still not efficient, but he's a dangerous young player. They did lose Taylor Hendricks tonight to a disgusting injury, and you just hope for the best. He's going to be out for the season.
Awful.
That's one. I think we've talked about this before, but anytime someone goes, hey, here's the injury, it's dislocated ankle and, you know, fractured fibula. I go, cool.
That's all
I need to know, right? Yeah. The people who like put out the video and like, here's the injury. It's like, I need to meet these people who like watching the injury. I'm like, I don't want to see this shit. No, see, the legs are a different direction. I don't, why? That's gross.
Well, I mean, maybe unless you're a doctor.
Okay. Do doctors like get excited to see that? Oh, yeah. Hey, we got a call tonight. This guy dislocated his ankle. No. Let me see it.
I wasn't saying that, that people get excited, but I think there's some people who are intrigued by it and don't get like grossed out. I'm sure they have empathy for the person, everything that it happens to. But I also think there's something else that is wrong with these people. But I could never. Like, even thinking about it makes me queasy.
The chat has been comparing me to so many different people. Someone just said I look like Ric Flair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't have a goatee. Morgan.
Yes.
What was your reaction to this Dwayne Wade statue unveiled in Miami? A lot of people are making fun of it.
I mean, it's scary. It's Halloween. Like, is that... At first, I tried so hard. I'm like, God, statues are really hard, you know? So maybe there's something that looks like him in this, whatever. You really look at this, it's like in the face. It's in the eyes. It was not sculpted correctly. And here's my thing. We are in 2024.
Those are already
and
lies.
You're trying to tell me that we can't figure out a way to do a statue the right way of someone's face with the technology that we have. I mean, you like literally like think about the statues back in like what are those days? Like the Statue of David? Like
a long time ago, yeah.
A long time ago. Statues are great.
Yeah, to be fair, did you know David? Do you know what he looked like? Maybe the statue didn't really look like him. We just assume it looked like him.
David also didn't look like this. I mean, you know what I mean? That's doing someone dirty. That's not okay.
It's pretty bad.
It is bad. No, it's just,
more the eyes than anything, right?
It's the eye. The eyes are tiny. They're squished together. It's like they're not doing what they're supposed to
do. Do you think in general statues are pretty creepy?
I mean, I'm not like, if I was put, I'm trying to think where statues are. Like, I was thinking of a museum. If you had me in a museum at night by myself, I'd be scared.
A statue?
Yeah.
Like it's going to like start moving or what?
Well, I used to be scared of like my dolls, you know? So.
Well, that was different because Chucky.
How is that? Wait. How is that different?
Everyone was scared of dolls. My grandma had all these dolls. So creepy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, old lady.
Okay.
Why do you just have like a case of like dolls?
Because they probably like made her feel a certain way because that's what old people used to play with when they were children.
Okay.
Maybe and you're collect right. And like, come on, get.
Before we wrap up here.
Yeah.
We got one more thing that happened tonight that was really cool. For those who know Carlin. Where's my little French?
He's laying in his bed.
Carlin the Frenchie. So last December, he suffered an injury where he had a
spinal
herniated a disc that was putting pressure on his spine. Okay. So he needed emergency surgery on his spine. His back legs just like dangle, just like
like this.
So he's been going to rehab at UC Davis started twice a week. Now it's like once every 2 weeks. And it's been good. Like he's built strength and he does some things, but he still didn't have feeling in the back legs and he still drags around. And take him on a walk, you put him in his little wheelchair. It's the cutest thing ever. And what's awesome about dogs is they don't care. Like the guy, the dog lost feeling in his back legs and he doesn't care. He's still like, so
I can
happy.
Move, I can eat.
He's okay. Totally jacked up front. Anyway, get home, get ready for the pod. Hey, Carlin, what's up? Carlin is using his back right leg, like literally like bent, putting pressure on it.
Just a little.
I've never seen it.
Just a little.
It doesn't matter. I mean, what a win.
It's journey. It's really cool.
And so like he's been doing so much rehab of like, being on a little treadmill and they're like moving his little legs and different exercises, laser treatment, shock, all this different shit to hopefully stimulate something. But to see him have the ability just to push up a little bit on his right leg.
Cool.
Like,
that was cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel like the beam was lit tonight for Carlin and it made me really happy.
Oh
no, it did. I just like, it's weird because you know, seeing him around the house, he's not in wheels all the time. Like around the house, like he just drags his back legs around. Right. So seeing him like be able to go on that right leg, it's like, oh, he's like standing up high again.
A little bit. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm curious what else can happen with it. But either way, it was just cool to see a little bit. Just a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
A big win.
Wait, you know what? A little bit pressing up, right?
Yeah.
That's a win over the Blazers. You're pressing up again. The Kings, the first two games, they're dragging around like Carlin.
Oh.
Right? They're still playing basketball, just dragging around, right?
Yeah.
Tonight, they beat the Blazers. They got up a little bit.
Okay, so.
Right? That's what.
This is Deuce's great comparison. Example. Yep. Just like Carlin's leg. You know, you did miss one other thing.
What?
Paolo Banchero.
Oh, Banchero. Yeah, you know, there are so many basketball topics I wanted to hit, and I know we have a back-to-back tomorrow, so I was being respectful of your time.
Okay.
Banchero tonight. Orlando beat Indiana, and at the half, Banchero had 37 points.
37.
He ends up finishing with 50.
I mean, you'd hope that the team would adjust and slow him down, but he had 37.0 turnovers at the half.
So his final numbers, though, Morgan?
Yeah.
50 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, and he left points on the board. He was just 15 of 22 at the free throw line.
Damn.
But he was 16 of 26 overall. That guy is beastly. Ridiculous. Yeah, I think back to that draft. I remember after the draft lottery, one of Deuce Mason's best takes, I was like, I think the Kings should trade up and try to get Banchero or Chet. And Chet? Have you guys seen Chet this year? For Chet about it. You know, like he is unbelievable. No?
You didn't make that up, did you?
I just came to my head now.
Really?
Forget about it.
I actually like it.
Okay.
Forget about it. Well, because I just didn't believe that you thought of something funny. Forget about it. Yeah.
Okay. That's how I felt you gave me.
Forget about it. But yeah, anyway. Watch Chet.
There's a lot of NBA topics we still have to get to at some point. But anyway, final thoughts. Good one, Kings.
Yeah.
You're on the board. Now take care of business tomorrow.
I'm with it. I'm totally with it. Beam was lit. Carlin's leg is kind of feeling good. Kings get the dub.
Smoke detector went off in the pre-show.
I mean, we got a Halloween costume.
I played round ball rock.
You got to play it again.
Okay. Oh, wait.
Nice.
Hey, give it up for Deuce, huh?
My wig sucks.
Yeah, it does, man. It's
so bad.
This was an interesting night chat, and it was good to have this type of chaotic energy tonight. It felt all over the place. tomorrow we'll be doing this live from the NBC studios in San Francisco. We love you guys so, so, so much. But we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.